My name is John, and I'm a sinner. And you are too. But that's okay, because we are entering on a journey together. We are, in some strange way, by the grace of God, in a community together where, as our friend Mike says, the worse your story, the warmer your welcome. So what I want to do today is to invite you to go on this journey together with me and hopefully lots of other folks for the next 7 or so weeks, couple months. And I want to guide you into what I think was the greatest discovery of the 20th century. And it wasn't how to split an atom, and it wasn't how to fly a plane, it wasn't how to make a computer. It was a spiritual discovery. But before I tell you that story, I want to encourage you with one thought for the day and one thought that you can enter into this journey with. When I was a pastor at Menlo years ago, one of the guys on our staff, Eugene Lee, was a very effective campus pastor. He also had a black belt in martial arts. And to illustrate some point, I have no idea what that point was. One time we actually did a video where I held a block of wood, and he did a 360-degree spin and splintered that block of wood that I was holding right in front of my face with his foot. I will never do that again. But I'll always remember something that Eugene told me that said to me something a lot about life and about discipleship. He said, a black belt is just a white belt that keeps showing up. Black belt is just a white belt that keeps showing up. And you and I are invited on the greatest adventure, the greatest opportunity that has ever been offered to human beings, and that is to become followers of this man, Jesus. And the invitation is keep showing up. I'll put that in another way towards the end of our time together today. Here's the great spiritual discovery that was made by somebody who was in desperate need. He was a man, a stockbroker named Bill, known to history as Bill W. And he was a utterly hopeless alcoholic. And I won't go into the details of that part of his story, but the utter hopelessness is a real important part that we'll take a look at as we're on this journey together. And he had promised 100 times that he would quit. He had lost money. He had lost jobs. He had lost friends. He had lost everything. The doctor had told his long-suffering wife that her basic choices were that he could go into an asylum, or she could watch him go crazy, or watch him drink himself to death. And at a point where he had become utterly hopeless, one day he was visited by a friend, Abby T. And Abby had even a worse drinking problem than Bill had. But on this occasion, his eyes were clear and his face was bright. And when Bill offered him a drink, he said, no, I'm not drinking. And Bill thought, well, good, more for me. But then when he asked him why, Abby said that he had found God. And Bill had no use for that at all, except that he was so desperate. Abby had become part of a group that was called the Oxford Group. We'll talk more about them. The Oxford Group was an attempt to recapture following of Jesus in concrete ways in the modern era. And so they were quite intense in the way that they would try to follow Jesus together. And that's what Abby had found. And he told Bill about that. And Bill wrestled for a few days, went to a meeting. And when they asked people to step forward and give their lives to Jesus, he did that, but felt kind of foolish when he woke up the next morning, except that he noticed, he remembered that on his way home from that meeting, he had not even been tempted to stop by a bar for a drink. And so he went into hospital to try to sober up and figure out, was he willing to try this method, this turning his life over to God? And years later, here's part of what he wrote about when he was in that hospital room. My depression deepened unbearably, and finally it seemed to me as though I were at the bottom of the pit. I still gagged badly on the notion of a power greater than myself. But finally, just for the moment, the last vestige of my proud obstinacy was crushed. All at once, I found myself crying out, if there is a God, let him show himself. I am ready to do anything, anything. And that might not be a bad prayer today. Doesn't take a lot of faith. If there is a God, let him show himself. I'm ready to do anything. Suddenly the room was lit up with a great white light. I was caught up into an ecstasy which there are no words to describe. It seemed to me in the mind's eye that I was on a mountain and that a wind, not of air, but of spirit, was blowing. And then it burst upon me that I was a free man. Slowly the ecstasy subsided. I lay on the bed, but now for a time I was in another world, a new world of consciousness. All about me and through me, there was a wonderful feeling of presence. And I thought to myself, so this is the God of the preachers. A great peace stole over me. And I thought, no matter how wrong things seem to be, they are all right. Things are all right with God and his world. And of course, put in very other words, that's the great message of Jesus. Now the kingdom of God has come near to you. And so this man, Bill W., went back to the Oxford group because a single experience can be a gift from God, but it's never enough. And he began to learn, how do you follow Jesus? And then he met another man. We'll talk about that story. And then a group of people. And over time, folks who had been utterly helpless in their addiction discovered that if they were to seek after God with a certain kind of intensity, in a certain kind of way, and do it together, that they would receive power. See, here's the story. Here's the promise for you today. It is power. It is spiritual power. And that power does exist. That power really is available to you. There are two ingredients that everybody needs if we're going to enter into that kind of life. And one of them is we need a fellowship. We need a community. And then the other one is we need a way of life. And so what happened for Bill W. and other people is that they discovered from the Oxford group a way of life. Now, eventually, Bill wrote these down in what are called the 12 steps. Admitted that we were powerless over alcohol, you supply whatever word you want to at that point, and our lives had become unmanageable. And then came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And then made the decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. And then made a fearless and searching moral inventory. And then admitted the exact nature of our wrongs to God, ourselves, and one other person. And then on to becoming ready to have God remove our defects of character and asking him humbly to do that, and then making amends to other people, and then beginning to put this into practice in our daily lives, and then began to increase our conscious contact with God through prayer and meditation, and then began to carry this message to others. Now, you'll notice with these 12 steps, you can read about them online if you want to. We'll make them available today. A real, real important aspect of them, they are written in the past tense. These are not rules, you know, do this today. It's very easy for somebody to write down, this is what you ought to do. This is not what happened here. What happened here was Bill W. and then Dr. Bob and then another man and then another till there were about 100 discovered that they found God when they had a way of life that made sense. It was not legalistic. It wasn't mechanical. It wasn't arbitrary. It was rooted in the Bible. It was rooted in discipleship to Jesus Christ and involved practices that you know if you've been around the church very much. But they fit together in a coherent way, and they were grasped at brightly and deeply and intensely because of the great desperation that came with weakness. God always says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then they did that together. So these were steps that weren't some bright person going into a room saying, here's a bunch of stuff that you ought to do, and then you can feel good about your spiritual life. These were things that people whose lives were shipwrecked and faced hell did. And they discovered if I arrange my life around these particular practices, these kind of rhythms and these patterns together with other people, oh, by the way, the power to avoid death and hell and destruction got thrown in as kind of a bonus. Those are the 12 steps. And it has struck lots of folks for a long time that if they would be useful for people whose lives were about to be destroyed by alcoholism or addictions of other kinds, substance addictions or behavioral addictions, might they not be helpful for the rest of us? I'll just read you one such quote. There are many others. Dallas Willard, in one of his books, writes out all of these 12 steps. Again, written in the past tense. They got written down because they worked first. Following Jesus actually does work. Dallas wrote, "Compared to this, one sees how utterly superficial the consumer Christianity of our day is. Imagine by contrast, being a member of a church or a local assembly of Christians where these 12 steps were applied without specific reference to alcohol. Imagine." And now you don't have to imagine, because that's exactly what we're going to do, one day at a time. One of the passages in the Bible that was deeply loved by those early members of, even before it was called Alcoholics Anonymous, the Oxford group, was the book of James, where James says, you know, "You claim that you have faith, but I will show you my faith by my works." And he said, "Look, here's another life delivered. Here's another life delivered. Here's another life delivered. It works." So they loved that book of James, and they loved that connection between faith and works. And it was from the book of James that a kind of a mantra developed. And to this day, at the end of AA meetings, very often after people say perhaps the Serenity Prayer or the Lord's Prayer, they will join hands with one another. I do that with you right now. And they will chant together, "Keep coming back. It works." Or, "Keep coming back. It works if you work it." A black belt is just a white belt that keeps showing up. That's the journey. It starts today. Keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series, Steps, which is based on John's new book releasing February 4th by the same name, Steps. So if you're catching this video before February 4th, you might want to pre-order the book. You can do that at our website, becomenew.com/steps. And when you pre-order, it will unlock exclusive content from John just for you. While you're there, you can subscribe to Become New to make sure you don't miss any future episodes in this series or any other videos that we do. As a community, we believe in spiritual growth one day at a time, and a big part of that is prayer. There's a team of us that meets each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a specific prayer request, we would love to pray with you. You can text it to us to 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.